The Mosto studio was a dark, cavernous space with a high beamed ceiling, shelves filled to overflowing with books, videotapes, and files. Computers, printers, and a drawing table were half buried amid piles of papers and journals. The walls were crowded with charts, photographs, masks, and souvenirs. It was clutter on a grand scale. Damosto scooped a stack of papers off a chair, clearing a place for me to sit. I found myself facing a densely drawn family tree hanging on the wall. "How many generations is that?" I asked. "You know, I'm not really sure," he said, laughing. "I'd have to count. Anyway, I think it's about 27. "All nobility?" I asked. "Nobility, yes, but not all of them noble. One of my female ancestors, a courtesan, gave Lord Byron the clap. Another, Vido Damosto, was caught printing counterfeit money. They considered gouging his eyes out and hanging him between the columns in San Marco, but instead, they gave him the job of printing the official money of the Venetian Republic. The theory, I guess, was that if somebody had a particular talent, the Republic should make use of it. There was a Damosto whose wife ate so much he went broke. Another Damosto went to prison for insulting Doge Andrea Gritti, and three or four others were excommunicated. We've had a Doge's wife, but never a Doge. One Damosto barely lost to a man who was beheaded after he became Doge, so maybe it's just as well he lost. Anyway, Damostos have always preferred being the power behind the throne. It's a safer place to be. And now, I said, a Damosto is coming to the rescue of Teatro La Fenice. Everybody expects Agnelli to win, he said, but we'll find out in a day or two. Damosto pulled a thick file out from under a stack of papers and handed it to me. These are the specifications the Comune gave us for the new Fenice. It's the preliminary plan, he said, what you call bid documents. I leafed through the pages. The Fenice was laid out in a mixed-media presentation, floor plans, drawings, sketches, photographs, paintings. Fortunately, said Damosto, someone discovered the architectural plans that were drawn up in 1836 after the first fire. They were found in an archive along with detailed written instructions by the Meduna brothers. So we have all the correct measurements for the auditorium, which means we can recreate the Fenice's acoustics exactly. The Medunas even described how the pieces of wood should be cut. Sound waves travel along the grain of the wood, so if it is cut properly and positioned at the correct angle, the sound will be carried evenly from the stage to every point in the theater. The Medunas personally signed every piece of wood. Damosto clearly took delight in this last detail. It seems pretty clear what's expected, I said. Yes, but not completely, he said. When I received these documents from the Comune last September, I sat down and studied them several times, and something didn't seem right. Damosto turned to the Comune's floor plans. Here, look at this area. He pointed to the south wing, a complex of small buildings attached like barnacles to the south wall of the theater. According to this drawing, he said, the old south wing has been enlarged so that it now incorporates a two-story building the Fenice doesn't own. It's this blank space right here. It covers 300 square meters in all, but it's never been part of the Fenice. Right now, he said, pulling out an old map of the theater, you can see there's a magazzino on the ground floor. It contains a laundry used by the restaurant Antico Martini. On the floor above, there are a couple of privately owned apartments. It's very strange. There's no mention of this new space in the written instructions we were given. If we were supposed to rebuild the theater exactly as it was, com'era, this space doesn't belong in it. Then why is it on the drawing? That's what I wondered. Signor Baldi, the owner of Antico Martini, says he needs the laundry for his table linens and that no alternative space is available, so he won't sell his magazzino. I didn't know what to do about it, so I asked some of the engineers and architects who worked on the preliminary plan for the prefect. When they realized what I was talking about, they turned white as a piece of paper. So I immediately called Aldo Rossi and told him to stop work because there was some confusion about the south wing.